The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Cast a Strong Style. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, none other than Mr. Anwar Starwin. What's going on, Anwar?
What's up, Don? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Licking my wounds. Baltimore Ravens ran into that
Got that bounce back win after getting our ass tarred and feathered on Monday.
Yeah, all you needed to see was the Washington football team. That'll get you back right.
Yeah.
And we're joined on this episode by Terry's Boy. Thank you for joining us this week, Terry's Boy.
No problem, Don. Anwar, good to be here. Good to be back with you, brothers. Talking about the G1.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about nights 5 through 8. So I have done a whirlwind catch-up session over the weekend. Watched a lot of matches in a short amount of time, so they're all fresh to me. So we'll get right into night 5. Our first matchup sees Taichi coming in with 4 points versus Yujiro, who has 0 points. Basically, this was spy versus spy because they both tried their hand at some underhanded tactics. But Taichi got the win after a low blow, and the Gato Clutch pinned Yujiro. Thoughts, questions, concerns, guys?
Who was it again? Because you said it so fast.
Taichi
and Yujiro.
And Yujiro.
Oh, man, I remember not liking that match that much. I felt, I don't know, maybe I watched that at a bad time or something. I know other people I know liked it, but I was kind of like, the only thing I was happy with that match was when it was over. It was just like, I liked the beginning, and I liked the end, and everything else could get fucked.
Mr. Terry's Boy, your thoughts, sir?
I remember thinking it was all right. You know, they had a little bit of playfulness where Yujiro went for the pimp cane and Taichi went for the mic stand at the same time. And Yujiro, because I was one of those people when he got announced, I was like, really? Yujiro's in the G1? But he's trying really hard. Like, obviously, he's not of the same caliber as some of the other guys in A Block, but he's been trying. And Taichi's got a nice little role going for him. He beat his boss, Suzuki, and he's been looking pretty good.
Yujiro's tried to make the most of his opportunity, man. So I'll give him that for this year being in the G1 when, like you said, a lot of people were down on his selection. But at least he's put up some pretty good fights and pretty good battles in the matches that he's had. Next, we have Jeff Cobb coming in with 2 points versus Minoru Suzuki coming in with 2 points. After a stiff back-and-forth battle, Minoru Suzuki gets the win with the Gotch Pile Driver over Jeff Cobb. So Minoru Suzuki continues his strong G1 performance so far. Jeff Cobb a little slow out of the box, but this was pretty hard-hitting. Jeff Cobb stepped it up a little bit to go against Suzuki.
I've enjoyed Jeff Cobb in this tournament. He's been better than he was last year, and like, I liked how they, like, kind of subverted us, where you, like, oh, these two goons gonna come out and just start slugging each other. And to my surprise, they didn't do that. They went to do some mat-based stuff, and I really enjoyed the mat-based stuff. And then they flipped it mid-match to, like, the more violent stuff that you expect out of them. But it's like, part of me is like, man, I could sit here and just watch them do some mat-based wrestling. But maybe they'll do that in the future. But, yeah, man, I dug this match. It was a good little match. It was short, in and out, boom.
Terry's Boy,
I think that, which is weird, because you would think maybe because he's probably wrestled less matches in Japan this year than last year, like he might have had a adjustment period. But yeah, he's looked a lot better. I think part of it, he remembered, in case people don't know Kyle's background, like he was a legit champion, like amateur wrestler. He was in the Olympics. Like, I think that was part of it too. He was like, yeah, I mean, I can do the athletic stuff and the power stuff, but in this environment, maybe I should wrestle some more because I'm pretty damn good at that, and I have, like, the credentials. So, yeah, that was nice. And, yeah, Suzuki looking real dominant in his return to G1, just putting out fools quick.
Man, Suzuki been one of the best wrestlers in the world, for real, this year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, he's definitely stepped it up as far as, like we said on the last episode, Anwar, ever since, even going back into the end of last year with the Jushin Thunder Liger stuff, he's really been putting on some strong performances.
Dog, I feel like that at the dome, like after it was like after the dome, like him versus Mockley is one of the best matches I saw this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Real for. Now we go into what I think everybody would say was the unquestioned match of the night for night five. Kota Ibushi coming in with 2 points against Ishii, who came in with no points. Ishii chopped Ibushi in the throat, only for Ibushi to punch Ishii in the throat as a response. The finish saw Ishii fall to some knee strikes, and then finally Kota Ibushi hit the Kamigoye to get the pin and the win. Hard-fought match with Tomohiro Ishii not wanting to concede the loss, because even when they were both getting tended to, he was still punching at Kota Ibushi, trying to get at him. They both down, getting ice packs and everything, young boys all around them. This was the best match I think of the tournament so far. I don't know if anybody else feels differently, but to me, this was a standout.
I gotta watch it again. I just watched Naito versus Tanahashi, and that shit is a banger, so I don't know.
Yeah.
This match is awesome too, though. I really like how it's been 2 years since they last wrestled, and it really didn't feel like it was no drop off. They just have really great chemistry with each other, and it was kind of wild. It's kind of wild seeing them being third from the top, but man, they brought it. It was awesome. It's definitely one of the best matches of this tournament. So I just love how I remember the point where they were on the ground and they were slapping each other and shit, getting on each other's nerves, like on the ground, literally kicking each other, and then it kept going up. It escalated as they got up, and then they just switched up the strikes. That this is like, they're awesome together, man. Yeah, man. Ishii and Ibushi together, just dynamite.
Terry's boy, your commentary on this particular match, Ibushi and Tomohiro Ishii.
It was a really great match. Like it felt like a fight. I like that Ibushi is one of those guys that makes a different tempo with Ishii, so you get a little bit more variety. And I'm liking this Kota Ibushi tapping into that guy we saw at the dome kind of disappear for a while, Killer Kota, and just like, yep, I'm just going to beat the shit out of everybody and win these matches and try to be a two-time G1 winner, try to make history and do my thing. And yep, this was definitely one of the highlights of the tournament. And yeah, Ibushi is definitely one of the top performers in the tournament so far.
That brings us to Shingo Takagi versus Will Ospreay. Shingo comes in with 0 points. Will Ospreay comes into the match with one. I think everybody remembers their best of the Super Junior Finals that they had together, which was a 5-star matchup. This one, not quite as good, but still high echelon match. Shingo finally gets on the board as he got the win with the Last of the Dragon. So Will Ospreay's streak comes to an end at 2 matches. Hard hitting. I thought Shingo needed this win, and he went out there and he wrestled like he wanted it from the beginning. So a good show of he was very assertive in trying to get this win over Will Ospreay. Anybody want to jump in, chime in?
Yeah, man. I thought it was a really good match. It was one of the more entertaining matches of the tournament. And those two just got really, they work well together. I don't know. In that match, it kind of seemed like Shingo was faster than Ospreay. And Ospreay's cardio was a little bit off. Or maybe that was his attempt at selling. I don't know. And I like the fact that Shingo got his win back, because I was like, I don't know if they're going to give him his that win back, especially with how long the layoff Will's been within the company. It's like, I thought they were just going to give Will just a shitload of wins off the break to like establish him back to the fact that, yo, this is one of our top future prospects. And even though people don't like it, you're going to learn to love it. So just take this and shut the F up. Because, I mean, you know, we got our issues with Ospreay, like real life issues with Ospreay. But, man, dope match.
Right, right. Terry's boy?
Yeah, very good match. Obviously, you know, it's a Will Ospreay match, so you're going to have them little counter, little moves around. And, yeah, I like Shingo, like I said. I like this Shingo where every once in a while he reminds people, like, yeah, I'm not just a dumb brawler. I actually learn when I lose to somebody, I learn from my mistakes and I do things to do better and win the next time. And he showed in this match. And I think also it was Will being a little too cocky because, you know, he's been proclaiming himself the best wrestler in the world. Nobody can touch me, so. And like you said, Shingo needs to win. He's like, some not so fast. You haven't let me just yet. And I think, you know, part of it is, you know, Will hasn't been here. So Shingo is more acclimated to being a heavyweight at this point.
Good point.
Good observation. Good observation. Main event of the evening for night 5, Jay White coming in with 4 points against Okada with 2 points coming in. Okada seemed to have Jay White beat at a few points, but he made a critical mistake. He kept going for the money clip to get the win. Jay White continually had the move scouted. Jay White eventually countered the money clip into the switchblade, and Jay White comes out victorious.
Yep, it's always a good day when Okada loses. So as far as this match, like, Okada definitely put more effort into it, and because he couldn't just bullshit around like he'd been doing with other people. He had to give more effort to beat Jay, but even with the stuff that he's doing, he showed within the match that what you're doing right now ain't good enough to beat Jay. And it was always like closeness and ability between those two. But if you're going to do this new style of wrestling, I don't know if this shit gonna work versus Jay, so you might need to go back to the drawing board and come up with more schemes, buddy. And I enjoyed all the trolling before the match, during the match, and during the post match, because, you know, Jay talks shit like nobody else right now.
Terry's boy, are you feeling that Okada's been missing something since the return of New Japan Pro Wrestling for about the last two and a half, three months?
Yeah, like, he's not as dynamic, and I'm really starting to see, compared to like the other top guys being Jay, Naito, and Tanahashi, they can, like, when they can't do like the dynamic stuff that gets the crowd popping, because obviously the crowd can clap but they can't chant right now, they can do other things, like they can strike. Obviously, Tanahashi is a great wrestler. Bushi can lean on his strike. Okada really right now seeming like if he can't do his high spots, he really ain't, like, he doesn't feel that special. He's just a guy. He has talent, but it's like, come on, bro. Jay White is not tapping out to your ugly ass. And I love Okada, but he's not tapping out to your ugly ass cover clutch, bro. It's not happening. And again, this is Switchblade, who his whole thing is, I'm a counter wrestler. I don't know if that's like Tama Tonga's influence, but his whole thing is, whatever you do best, I'm going to take it away from you. So you better have a backup plan. Because your plan A is not working against me. I'm too smart, and I watch my tape. And so it's like Anwar said, if you watch their other matches, this has always been an even matchup. So it's like 60% Okada is going to beat 100% Switch. Like, no. we need you to step it up, Rainmaker. I know you keep saying, I don't need the Rainmaker, but, bruh. This ain't it. You my man, but this ain't it, bro. This ain't it, Okada. It's not. The results speak for themselves. You're 2-2. Like it. This is not working. Or I don't know. Like I don't know who he could train with because Rocky's really not there. But I mean, maybe he can go show like. If you're going to keep using the money clip, go try one of the wrestlers in Chaos so they can show you how to actually properly apply it or something. Make it look more painful because it's not working.
Don't it remind you of how John Cena would not put the like Titan grip on the STFU? Don't it remind you of that?
Yeah. Or it's loose and like, Okada is a guy where his counters always look dynamic. It never looks cool when he counters into the money clip. It just looks basic. It's like, oh, you pulled the guy back and then put on the... I mean, this is not even that creative.
Like, I watched the G1, like, block finals with him versus Nakamura this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, man, what the fuck? It just make you go, what the fuck, even more. Like, what are you doing right now? Who came up with the idea of this story? Is this you, Okada, just you bored and you like, saying in the main event, I'm just going to do some bullshit. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it seems like he is, you know, kind of, he's just in second gear, third at the best. And he's just like, hey, you know, I've given y'all 4 good years of nonstop to the wall. So now that I can't take a chance to be in the middle, I'm just going to act like a mid-carder. So that's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
Night 6, we come to the B block where we have Sonata with no points versus Yoshihashi, also with no points. Sonata nearly had it won when he applied the skull in, but he let go to go up top for the moonsault. It fails when Yoshihashi gets the knees up. Yoshihashi then hits Karma, and he pins Sonata to get on the board in this year's G1.
That match shocked me with the result, because I was like, oh, Sonata is like lost all these matches. He need to get some wins real quick. And then he lost this match. And I was like, what? Not even Bushi as a good luck charm could help him. I was like, dang, bro. You slumming really bad. But I like this match. I like, I enjoy like Yoshihashi's like spirit within the match. Like he just really was engaged in. I've enjoyed him in this tournament, surprisingly, because like, y'all know how I'd be like Yoshihashi would, because him, he was bullshitting.
Yeah, we know and, how you feel about tacos.
Yeah, you know how I feel about them. So it's just like, it was a good, I enjoyed it, man. So.
Well, that's what happens when you become a champion. When you become a champion, you elevate yourself, you get a little bit more inner confidence, and you believe in yourself. And so I think that's what's going on with Yoshihashi right now. He's finally got a championship belt in New Japan, and he's just on a different level. He's got some confidence he's never been walking around with before.
Don, I feel you're being very sarcastic right now. You're saying it in a like engaged voice, but you really don't believe none of this shit you're saying. You sound like a lot of the people on the main roster WWE who you're saying these promos, but knowing they heard that it'd be some wacky shit in the world. And I'm not saying what you said is whack, because yours is way better because you came in with your mind, so you ain't had nobody, no old ass white man writing some lines for you. But back on this, yeah, it's like being a champion does give him a little more energy, and the fact that he was left out of G1 last year definitely lighted a fire in his ass. So he's like, man, I'm in here again. If it wasn't for like the ruin of my ass for not being this shit, so I'm going to just go all out because I might not be in it again. So if I want to be in it, then I got to go all out and show some fire, man. So he's doing a damn thing right now. Yeah. Damn the results.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Sonata so far, Terry's boy? Another kind of disappointing start to a G1 for him.
Yeah, like he feels like a guy that should have got elevated from the rub he got from Okada, but it just the effort and consistency hadn't been here so far, and he was in there against a champion, for better or worse, and a guy who has self-confidence and needed to win, and he got caught. Let his foot off the gas. So, it was a little disappointing early on, but we'll talk more about Sonala later.
Kenta coming in with 2 points versus Zack Sabre Jr., also coming into the match with 2 points. Zack Sabre Jr. would do his best to go toe-to-toe with Kenta, only to get floored because, of course, that's not his style of match. There was some back and forth with each guy trying to play to his strengths, but eventually Kenta hit to go to sleep, and Kenta gets the win over Zack Sabre Jr. My man Zack was trying to fight fire with fire, but you can't outstrike or outkick Kenta when you're Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, he always makes that mistake though when people try to get him into that striking contest, because he's like, why are you doing this, Zach? Like, unless you're trying to set a person up with some submission-based move, don't even try to get involved in his striking joints. But
I think it's a pride thing, because he is a slimmer guy. So I think it's like, oh, so you guys don't think I'm tough because I'm a vegan, hipster, skinny guy. Well, let me show you. I can throw balls. Plus, Zach's whole thing is, you know, strong style's overrated. My style's better. I can beat all these strong style wrestlers, but it backfires. And I also liked in the post-match, Kenta acknowledged their history, because he was like, when did my Zach become so rebellious? I didn't raise him to be that way. For people who didn't know, these two have history going back to, what is it, Noah? Right? They wrestled a lot of Noah back in the day. So, yeah.
I love that match, though.
Yeah, it was a really strong match.
It was not long. It just told the story, and it was just in and out. So I always like those really compact, short to medium, like, length matches. Yeah. Unlike Don love those long ass fucking main events.
I do love me an epic main event. Now I do like that my match to have three levels: a beginning, a middle, and then a climax. Yes, I do.
Some of these made events the last couple of days, man. We're going to touch on that.
That brings us to the ace, Tanahashi, surprisingly with no points, versus Juice Robinson, comes to the match with 4 points. Juice Robinson controlled most of this match. He goes for the pulp friction, but Tanahashi, being the clever wrestler that he is, rolls up Juice Robinson and gets the win. So Tanahashi is on the board, and Juice Robinson was left shocked and in amazement that Tanahashi countered the pulp friction and stole that victory. So this told a really good story of just, you know, why Tanahashi's the ace and Juice has still got some learning to do.
Man, it was alright. It was just alright. I love how Tanahashi uses roll-ups to just steal victories, showing his craftiness versus a dude that he might not be on the same par as, like, physical ability-wise, but his genius is knowing when to just do the right couple things and just swoop out there with a victory, like, ha ha, I got you.
Yeah. That's why he's the ace. That's why he's the ace.
Nope.
Next up, we saw Evil with 2 points coming in against Yano with 4 points. The finishing stretch saw Yano delivering a low blow, then getting a low blow from Dick Togo, and then hitting both Evil and Dick Togo with a low blow, followed by a roll up to Evil to steal another victory. So Tori Yano is on a roll, beating people left and right through devious acts of mischief, but it's working for him. So far, Toriano undefeated in the G1.
Yeah. Apparently, he's Rocky Romero's pick to win the block.
For real?
Yeah. I happened to listen to the English commentary on the last two shows because I was catching up. And, Kevin Kelly was ribbing him a bit. But, yeah, Rocky was like, yep. He's going to win the bet. The block is winning. I'm like, okay, Rocky, I know you're your man, your chaos brother, but I don't know about that one, but okay.
What, he stole some of Jeff Hardy's supply before he started combinating? Like, what the fuck, Rocky?
Yeah.
Come on, Rocky. I'm throwing off right now with that statement. Yo, I laughed at this. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, keep in mind, I think I was watching this early in the morning. So I was like, what the fuck? It was just nuts, and he pulled that shit out. But I was like, it's kind of good for Evil to get that loss, because he be doing fuckery for like months. So good. You good, yeah. Juju.
This and the Zach match, I was very happy. I was like, yep, that's what you get, Evil. That is exactly what you deserve. You do fuck shit, this is what happens to you. Yep, go ahead and take them two L's.
Then that brings us to our main event for night 6. We had Goto versus Naito. Goto comes in with 2 points, Naito with 4 points. Naito worked over Goto's shoulder, but Goto was able to rally and get some really good near falls. But Naito, with the help of two Destinos, gets the win over Goto in a hard fought victory.
After initially watching it, I enjoyed it, but the length probably kind of messed with me a little bit. And I don't know, I thought it was really a dope match. I definitely got to watch it again. So, yeah, man, I thought it was really good. So, it probably kind of felt a little long, because if I'm getting like kind of like spacing out a little bit during your match, sometimes that's me, but sometimes maybe it's you. So, I don't know. Dope main event, and I'm going to give it a look again and maybe have a reformed opinion on it, but I dug it.
All right.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think part of that is Anwar, is this match started really, really slow. Like, this was a traditional, like, New Japan main event where they do almost nothing like the first 9 minutes, then it picks up in the middle, and then you get a really, really exciting closing sequence. Plus, I think part of it is just Naito being the double champion and the face of the company. Like, yeah, other than Tanahashi, I'm kind of carrying this B block, so I want to make sure people get their money worth. But, yeah, it rounded up into a strong match. Like, Goto had a strong performance. Unfortunately, he lost again. That shoulder's becoming a problem. But yeah, I'm really liking Naito's performances thus far in this tournament. Like, he's not doing anything flashy, but I like him leaning more on his wrestling, using striking more. He's showing. Unlike the other guy in the other block, like, I'm a real ace. Like, I can do more than just high spots. I can actually wrestle. So, Naito is really, really, I was already a fan, but he's really impressed me with his kind of adjustment. Like, yep, okay. Let me take some cues from Tyler. I can't do what I likely used to do as much anymore. So, let me be smart, but still have really high quality matches. So, This was another example of that.
Perfect summary of him.
You're listening to Cast a Strong Style. I'm your host, Don DeLorente. I'm joined by Mr. Anwar Starwin and our special guest, Terry's Boy. We're in the middle of reviewing nights 5 through 8 of this year's G1. So that brings us to night 7. We're back to the A block. Minoru Suzuki coming in with 4 points, facing off against Yujiro. Suzuki was in control for most of the contest. The Gotch style pile driver gets Suzuki the win. So Suzuki now has 6 points. He did not mess around too much with Yujiro, even though Yujiro did try his best to stand in there toe to toe with Suzuki. Like I said, you know, making the most of his opportunities in this year's G1. So, you know, good opening match, wasn't too long, and the right person came out on top.
Yeah, man, it was pretty good. Like, again, Yujiro is putting in good performances. Like, I thought he was just going to be like, oh yeah, Yujiro's on the card, he's just going to take a couple ass whoopings and then move on, just
filling space, and he's actually out there putting effort and doing a good job. So I wasn't really with all of the ref foolishness, but, you know, this is the shit that this company like to do. So what can you do?
Terrace Boy, any insight on that match? Or you want to talk about Jeff Cobb and Kota Ibushi?
Just other than, again, another dominant win for Suzuki. And, yeah, despite Yujiro's efforts, unfortunately, he did not earn the respect of the king. He was basically like, yep, get back to the end of the line, you punk. You are on my level. Moving on. Good night.
Did you peep in the post-match comments where he said, it'll take you another 100 years before you could get to try me, punk?
Yep. I was like, damn.
Killed him. I was like, damn. Killed him. And then Yujiro was on the ground like, I know, I just like, what happened? He was, it looked like he had a concussion because he was talking a bunch of like nonsense.
Yeah. He's saying putting Rado.
He's saying he was taking them open palm strikes to the head. He might have got a concussion.
Man, he was just out on another fucking planet.
So that brings us to Jeff Cobb coming in with 2 points versus Kota Ibushi coming in with 4 points. This match was a little slow in the beginning, but Ibushi eventually hits a big knee strike, followed that up with Kamigoye, and Kota Ibushi got the win. This is the first time these two have ever wrestled each other, so that was a rarity in this particular G1. So, you know, maybe if they had another match to kind of work some things out, the chemistry may be a little bit better, and they may be able to pick it up a little bit, but I just thought this match was so-so.
I enjoyed it. I liked seeing Cobb being more of a like bully versus being like a face. So he could like be more of a bully versus Ibushi. So I enjoyed that element of it, and I just, man, I'm digging Cobb in this tournament. So,
all right, Terry's Boy.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid match. Obviously, possibly building something for the future, because I know Ibushi said in his post-match, like, headed in, he's like, man, I didn't know what to think of Cobb. But after these matches, he was like, okay, I'm a little bit impressed. All right, you showed me a little something, Cobb. I think I might want to fight you again one day. And he acknowledged the fact that Cobb is an Olympian. So, yeah, this is a solid little match. Like, obviously, I think Ibushi is saving himself for the big, big matches later in tournament. But this was solid.
Yeah, man.
That brings us to Okada with 2 points versus Taichi coming in with 6 points. A lot of back and forth. Taichi was in control for a lot of this match, but Okada finally picks up a win with the money clip over a stronger contender than Yujiro. So it looks like Okada may be trying to get himself back on track, picking up a win over Dangerous T, who had a strong tournament up until this little roadblock against Okada. Now, I really did enjoy this match. Was this the match where Okada brought out the Rainmaker for the first time in the tournament?
He didn't bring out the traditional Rainmaker. He brought out the rolling Rainmaker. Just him doing that shows that he knew that he had to do better after that, like, J match, and he can't treat like Tai Chi like he's just going to be easy to beat him with. And even though he did beat Tai Chi was better than him in that match. And I love the fact that Tai Chi did not tap out. He just passed the fuck out.
Right.
So you won, but you didn't really, like crush that man's spirit. Right. So it was really, I like that match.
We got Jay White coming in with 6 points, going up against Will Ospreay with 4 points. It looked like it's going to be a Jay White victory, but Will Ospreay dug deep. He hit the Hidden Blade, followed by the Stormbreaker. Will Ospreay gets the win over Jay White. So Terry's Boy, your thoughts here, Will Ospreay bouncing back after the loss in his last match to get this win over Jay White, who had been on a roll. He had won his first three matches. Now he finally drops one to Will Ospreay.
I thought this was a really strong match. Really, my only complaint was, and he tried, but Well, selling the leg was not that great. If you're trying to build drama and get the crowd into it, if he really wants to be the best wrestler in the world, like he says he does, and really wants to be a main eventer, like, bro, I'm going to need your selling game to, like, level up. We know you got the athleticism. We know you got the moves, but I'm going to need you to do a little bit better. But I thought this was really, really strong match. It built off their last match, which was what? An anniversary show last year?
Right.
It was an anniversary show. And Will was
where Will show. Like, okay, I learned from last time. I had some counters. He was ready for Ghetto. Like, you could tell, like, even though he's not thought of as a smart wrestler, like, Will wrestled a smart match. Like, he did his usual stuff, but he clearly came in with a plan. And, Switchblade clearly was not expecting it. And, the hidden blade, like, it's been shown when Will can hit it. That plus the Stormbreaker is a winning combination and can beat just about anybody.
Yep, you pretty much nailed it. Like, those are the complaints about Will, like, with that match and in general. And I thought the match was really good, and I enjoyed the chemistry that they both have. It was kind of wild seeing, like, Will just overcome all the stuff that usually derails even better wrestlers than him. So that was kind of interesting, too. But, you know, I mean, I dug it, and it showed the difference between, like, Will as a junior versus heavyweight, because when he faced Switchblade, he was still a junior. So that's another element. Like, okay, the things you were able to maybe out physical me in the previous match, you can't do anymore because I'm heavyweight too. So that's an element in that match. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a really good match.
All right. That brings us to the main event for night 7. Shingo Takagi versus Tomohiro Ishii. Takagi has 2 points coming into the match. Ishii has none. So basically, they just tried to beat the hell out of each other, see who was the toughest, who could sustain the most punishment. The wild closing stretch saw Ishii get the win using the vertical drop brainbuster. So Tomohiro Ishii finally has 2 points to show for all the efforts he's been putting in so far to the G1. This is what I call a hashtag certified banger. I really enjoyed the hell out of this match.
I enjoyed it as a match, but I definitely felt it was kind of long. Even the backstretch was amazing. It's like that type of style that they do is not necessarily always conducive to main events. Like, especially if it's a match that they've done over like a lot over a period of time. It's like a thing called diminishing returns or whatever. I personally enjoyed this match, and I enjoy them beating the hell out of each other, but they're probably better suited to have that type of match, like maybe second from the top or third, where their match is cut down to maybe 15 minutes versus, like, I don't know how long this one was. Like, if it was 25 or 20-something minutes, like, a shorter version of this match is more on the level of their G1 match last year. So this was a really awesome match, but, you know, that's just the other side critique of it. But yeah, man, they got really great momentum, but maybe they need to put it on ice for a little bit before returning to it. Because these two are like, in a sense, like mirror images of each other in like just going at it just hard and like striking. It's not, if maybe they can do a type of match where it's a little more pace to it. So I don't know, but I dug it.
Terry's boy, your thoughts on the main event for night 7?
Yeah, I also agree. It was very strong and, like nice back and forth. Like, it was levels to the striking. They weren't on their feet the whole time. Obviously, some of the stuff like headbutts, you like, ooh, be careful. But, it's kind of been interesting seeing Shingo's transition to heavyweight, because the whole thing when he was a junior was, this is the toughest, strongest guy in the whole story since he's been a heavyweight, man. He's tough, he's strong, but he's not the strongest anymore. Like, Ishii beat him, Suzuki beat him. Like, Shingo's not the top hoss in the heavyweight division like he was in the junior. So that'll be interesting to see how he bounces back and if he can raise himself another level if that's even possible, because he's already great and one of the best in the company. Because each year this post match was like, yeah, you hit pretty hard, but you ain't on my level, Shingo. I could have won another 5 minutes. You done, dog. Get to my level, basically.
He did say that so many words. It's like, you acting like this is the hardest shit ever, but this is just another day at the office for me.
Which is true. Like, he's been doing this. He played in New Japan in 2013, 2012. So, yeah, this is 7 years straight of Ishii. Shingo's like, yeah, this is your first year. I'm in year seven, dog.
Yeah.
That brings us to night 8, B block action. Juice Robinson with 4 points versus Yano, who has 6 points. Juice avoided a low blow. He hit the left hand of God, then countered a roll up of the Pulp Friction into a roll up pin of his own to get the win over Yano. So Yano has been thwarted. He will not go 9-0 in this year's tournament, as Juice Robinson has picked up another win. So pretty good showings this year for Juice Robinson. He's got 6 points. He's won 3 matches. So he's definitely becoming a player, it looks like, in this year's tournament. He's going to, you know, have some say on who ultimately wins the block, it looks like. So good for Juice Robinson.
It's good to see Juice doing well, specifically because he's supposedly one of the most popular people in Japan. And is underratedly popular in America. So it's good to see that they're kind of recognizing it and like going with him further in a single position. The match was all right. And, you know, sometimes Yano's material lands with me and sometimes it don't. So it was just all right. I was just more happy that Juice won. So good on him.
All right. Terry's boy, your thoughts on Juice Robinson's tournament so far?
Yeah, I'm liking it. Like, he hasn't had that super, super breakout match yet, but I think it's coming. And yeah, considering, like, he's a guy who, shoot, when was the last time Juice wrestled before this? Like, maybe February, March? Like, mm-hmm. He hasn't really shown that much ring rust. So, yeah, like, obviously, he's looking to be a player in the singles division. And, like, obviously, we didn't talk about this show. It already happened, but I liked how he kind of gave Kenta that look after he beat him. Like, yeah, once you beat Moxley, I'm coming for you. I just showed I can beat you. I can beat you again, Kenta. Watch your back, brother. Mm. I want that U.S. title back.
New Japan wants the U.S. title back, too.
Yeah.
He's not the only one. Goto with his 2 points. Facing off against Zack Sabre Jr., also with 2 points. The story coming into this match is his Goto's shoulder is all banged up so far throughout the tournament. The match with Naito kind of was the bullseye match where Naito was really working it over. Same thing here with Zack Sabre Jr. A lariat and a GTR by Goto hurt his shoulder too much for him to capitalize on. So Zack Sabre Jr. trapped him in the European clutch, and Zack Sabre Jr. got the win. This match was less than 10 minutes long, so it was just a real quick in and out. Zack Sabre Jr. like, yep, that's what I do.
Dog, I loved how this match surprised me with how fast it ended, and I was like, you know, it works for me, and it clicked me. I was like, thank you for giving me a short, really cool match. And in the post comments, like, yo, it was just Zack backstage playing around with a bottle of. And then he said, G is for Goto. And he started busting out laughing and walked away. The G in G1 stands for Goto. While he's just playing with the fucking bottle and just walks away. It was fucking peak. Like, it is just on brand for Zack to do some shit like that. Like, y'all really missing out if you don't check those post-match comments. Mm-hmm. Did that shit. I was like, oh, no. Why he do my man like that?
Well, I mean, that was kind of the story going in, because Goto talked about it in interviews into the tournament. Like, yeah, like, I'm 40 plus now. I don't know how much longer I can go at this level. And they seem to be telling the story like they did with Tanahashi a couple years ago. Like, is Goto done, or is there something left in the tank? Can he have another rally? Right now, it's not looking good for him. I hope he can bounce back because he's one of my faves. Even though he never wins the big matches, but we'll see. But yeah, I was shocked as well. I was like, wow.
He needed to get away from KO. Just got rolled
up like a young boy, huh? Okay, all right. Yeesh.
He needed to get away from fucking chaos. Like, if Goto turned heel, it was in something like Suzuki-Gun that could do something for him. Like,
yeah.
He just, ever since he was doing this shit with Okada, like, nah, man, I ain't gonna be in chaos. Then he shook his hand and been in chaos. It's like, I think a lot of people just stopped looking at him like as a legit threat anymore.
Yeah.
So it's been 4 years of this, so maybe he needs to change the pace of scenery as far as, like, faction-wise. But yeah, man, G1 ain't for Goto, though.
And what was probably the most surprising match of night 8, Tanahashi with 2 points, taking on Yoshihashi with 2 points. Tanahashi managed to barely survive the butterfly lock as it looked like Yoshihashi was going to get the submission win, but it was all for naught because Tanahashi eventually caught the upper hand and he got the win after hitting the high fly flow. So Tanahashi's won his last two matches and another great showing by Yoshihashi, even in defeat.
Yeah, man, this is one of the better matches of the tournament to me. I didn't expect this level of match between Tanahashi and Yoshihashi, and it literally took some con man shit for like Tanahashi to pull it out. He set that man up the way he conned that man into like hitting the sling blade. It was such great trickery, and then he did enough to pull it out in the end. And the fact that you could tell he respects Yoshihashi or the effort he's putting forth, that he went up and did two high fly flows. He don't really be doing that no more. So that really means something that he thought so much of, like Yoshihashi within that match, that he would break out that match. Not only hit him with one, but two. That's ultimate sign of respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we saw Evil with 4 points versus Kenta with 4 points. So we got Bullet Club on Bullet Club violence here. Red Shoes gets taken out, which led to Kenta using his IWGP United States title challenger briefcase on both Evil and Dick Togo. In retaliation, Togo tried to get involved. Just as Kenta went to attack Togo with the GTS, Evil hit Kenta with a low blow, while Dick Togo distracted Red Shoes. Evil then pinned Kenta using Everything is Evil. So there you go. Evil, with the help of the spoiler, victorious over Kenta.
You know, that felt like a hierarchy match. And I just love the fact that, like, Kenta was like, I don't give a fuck about what you did when we were gone. I'm here now. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you're going to have to prove yourself versus me. And all the shit that you, like, Kenta was doing that match, I enjoyed the stuff he, like, that dirty shit they were doing. And he did return the dirty shit. It was really cool match. So I really enjoy it. And it, like, the setup for what's going to happen and the ramifications is interesting. I haven't really fully looked at his post comments for that match, but I saw what Evil said, and he was like, Kenta, I have no comment. He just walked away, and I was like, okay, let's see how this shit play out. Cause
it seems like there's a ref in Bullet Club where it seems like Evil pretty much has his crew, which is basically him, Dick Togo, Ghetto, and Jado.
Yeah.
Everybody else in Bullet Club, it seems like they kind of like, I mean, he part of the group, but
we don't really fuck with him like that. Man.
Switchblade is kind of our man, so.
You nailed it. It's going to be something whenever those two got to be in a match versus each other or in a tag match. That's going to be even more revealing. So we got time to see how this stuff play out, because this might ultimately lead to the point where, like, Jay is forced to turn, because I think that's the ultimate goal with Jay, because he wrestles better as a face. People don't know that. I know that.
We know that. You watched his Young Boy days and coming up through the Young Boy stage. Yeah, him and Juice Robinson, they used to have some hell of a Young Boy matches together.
They doing it.
Or even his stuff in RH. I remember he had a match against Punishment Martinez that was pretty damn good.
So then that brings us to our main event of night eight. Sonata coming in with no points versus Naito, who's coming in with 6 points. Naito's on the top rope. His back is facing the ring. Sonata leaped off the second rope and dropped Naito neck first onto his knee. Sonata connected with the Destino, and he followed that up with two moonsaults to get the win over Naito and get his first 2 points in this year's G1 tournament. So just when you get ready to count him out, Sonata gets off the mat, upsets Naito, who had been undefeated prior. Do y'all think just the long stretches of matches Naito had been having finally caught up to him here? He wrestled almost 30 minutes in each one of his matches so far.
Yep, I think it might have caught up with him, but you never know, because as we've all pointed out, Sonata is one of those dudes. It's like some nights he got and some nights he don't. So it's kind of hard to fully gauge or put it on like Naito being exhausted. Like for me, like I was more interested in the story and how and who won it, because the match was this shit was long. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the main event, but I get for people who didn't enjoy it because it was so long and they felt maybe that. Maybe Sonata didn't bring his A game to match Naito. So, everybody, I respect people's opinion on it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good match. It was a good main event.
All right, Terry's boy, your thoughts on the main event for night eight? Sonata victorious over Naito.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. I mean, obviously, Sonata has a higher level than this, but I did think he stepped up the intensity. And in terms of the upset, I think maybe part of it was Naito, well, he was underestimating Sonata. He pretty much said in his post-match, before this match happened, like, yeah, we in his hometown. Y'all think he gonna win, but I'm sorry, it's gonna have a different outcome. Basically saying, yeah, Sonata is not better than me, because Naito's whole thing has been, since he beat Tanahashi on the first night, he was like, yeah, the ace gave me his all, and I still beat him. You think any of these other dudes in this block can beat me? Come on, son. I'm the double champ. Get out of here. So I think that was part of it, too. And Sonata brought out some new stuff, like that little neck breaker on the knee. I'm like, okay, Sonata getting a little nasty right here. I like it. And have you noticed Sonata, at least thus far in this tournament, other than the Yano match, which maybe that taught him his lesson, has not gone for the Paradise Lock in this tournament. Since then, he is not going for that move. He's been all business. So I think that's part of it, too, is Sonata's like, okay, I need to win this match. Because if you look at it like, yeah, he started 0-3, but like other people brought up, look at the guys Sonata lost to. Like, other than Goto, like, none of those guys are really a threat in terms of if Sonata is at the top of the bracket, these guys will stop him from making the finals because he lost to him. So this was the one he needed to win, and we'll see. Now the sky is open, and he can potentially win the block if he can win out the rest of his matches. He has to beat Evil and Tanahashi, though. Those are two other matches he needs to win, but he's got a chance now. He's got a chance.
Yeah, there's a log jam at the top at the B block. Yano has 6 points. Evil has 6 points. And Naito also has 6 points as they are the block.
Hold up. Evil ain't got 6 points.
Who did Evil beat? Kenta? Evil.
I know he lost once. He lost to Yano.
Yeah, he lost to Yano and Zach, and he beat Kenta, Zach too. And who else did he beat?
He won two and lost two.
Okay, so yeah. 4 points. Excuse me. Thank you for the correction there. So Yano and Naito are both tied at 6 points in the B block, and then in the A block, you have Jay White with 6 points. You also have Taichi with 6 points. Those are the two front runners in the A block.
Who did Naito lose to?
Naito.
Sonata.
Just lost to Sonata.
Oh, yeah. I'm tripping. God damn. You know I'm tripping right now. Yeah, I'm tripping, man. Yeah. Okay. The numbers, they can throw you off in this tournament.
Yeah.
So it happens. The guys are starting back up on Monday. It's going to be, I think, a full week this week. I think their next off day may be around Thursday or Friday. So
four straight days, bro. Four straight days. Oh my God, I'm gonna be dead in the morning.
Yeah. So continue to use the hashtag cast a strong style for you early risers or the people who do like me, just watch it when they have the time. But continue to share your commentary with color as we definitely enjoy your thoughts on all of these matches. So at this point, I'm gonna turn it over to Mr. Terry's Boy as our guest to get his shout outs and thank yous first.
Yeah, shout out to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Shout out to Mountain Zen and all the other Cast of Strong Style fam. And yeah, just looking forward to more of this tournament. It's been pretty solid so far given the circumstances, and it's gonna be real interesting to see who wins.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Corrigan Hall, oh how I've missed you for the nights 5 and 6. I was like, oh yes, mm-hmm. This familiar surrounding. Even though they couldn't be as vocal as they normally are, it was still good to see matches take place there. Mr. Anwar Starwin, sir, your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you, Don. Shout out to Terry Boyce for taking his time to do this with us during a NFL weekend. Shout out to Jupiter Julep because she is like number one and always will get that shout out. Shout out to Forever Young Cast ladies, and shout out to Jade, and shout out to Jade because she always supposed to get shout outs. Shout out to Semi as well. That's it.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Anwar and Terry for breaking down nights 5 through 8 with me here on Cast a Strong Style. Give a shout out to Madame Lizette, What Sleep Though, Jupiter Julep, Forever Young Cast Ladies, everybody who uses the hashtag Cast a Strong Style, everyone who rocks with the WrestleCast and what we do each and every week through the hashtags and through listening to the podcast. We definitely appreciate you. So please continue to support the show. Go over to CSPN.us, support the sponsors by clicking on the tab that says keep our podcast free, doing some shopping with our sponsors. It always helps out. Also, you can support the podcast by becoming a patron over on our Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Check out me and Miss Simi as we review AEW each and every week, and also hear some candid conversations about all things wrestling and sometimes some things that don't involve wrestling as well over on the Dark Match. Just become a patron again at patreon.com/CSPN Media. So for our guest, Mr. Terry's Boy, my co-host Anwar Starwin, I'm your host Don DeLaRente, and this has been Cast of Strong Style.
Cast of Strong Style.